warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, your co-host, sitting here with my partner in crime, David Niles.
Yo.
Dave, this is, like, I think we're, this may be 40. This may be episode 40.
We need to keep better track.
39 or 40. Yeah, I should keep better track.
Look it up
that.
On the website. It says on the web, on stmichaelradio.com, if you go to, at the top, you click on shows. Click on the Catholic Man Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is 40.
Okay. Did you do as I said?
No, I did it
you
a lot easier.
Pulled up the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can catch us on iTunes. By the way, we've had some really good reviews on iTunes recently.
Thank you.
And we're grateful for that. If you like this show, go give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It helps.
That's correct.
It helps us.
We are coming to you now via Catholic Radio across Oklahoma.
And Louisiana.
Breadbox Media,
mm-hmm.
Your favorite podcast player.
Mm-hmm. Stitcher, we're on Stitcher.
We're also, you can catch St. Michael Radio on...
our app.
The app. And my dad signed us up for TuneIn.
Oh, and now we're on TuneIn?
Yeah.
Perfect. TuneIn Radio, there you go.
It's the only thing he's ever done as a board member.
But we are always evolving.
That's right.
So, welcome to the episode. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things, at least three things, every episode.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You've been warned about the manliness of this show.
Yeah, because seriously, that's not a joke. Some people think, oh, that's a joke. You guys are kidding. We are not kidding.
We're not joking about that. In fact, somebody actually did get harmed.
A lot of people have been harmed.
At least emotionally.
Yeah, and they went and left an awesome 1-star review. It's still my favorite. I don't know why.
But we do three things. Dave, I'll let you tell him.
The three things that we do here on the Catholic Man Show that just elevate the level of manliness are, A, we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. Why do we do that? I know what you're thinking. I love telling people this, actually, about our show, that, yes, we drink on the air. Because you get a lot of funny looks, but we do so in moderation, of course, because God made the things of this earth good. And they should be enjoyed for their goodness. In fact, we're going to be talking about that goodness today. Today's episode, I'll just go ahead and let you guys know, is about beauty. Okay? And so we're having a beautiful, beautiful glass of whiskey today. So that's the first thing we do. The second thing that we do is review, highlight a man gear of some kind. Mm-hmm. So something that every man should have and use in their daily, especially the Catholic man.
That's right.
And then the third thing we do is have a discussion, which has been called by some the most manly discussion you've ever heard in your life.
That's true.
I may have been the one who said that, but...
But I confirmed it.
Needless. Still
that
accurate
should be
statement. Accurate statement.
Yeah.
That someone said that one time.
Dave, we've had a pretty sweet... This last weekend was a pretty awesome weekend. We had the opportunity, you and I got to sit next to a fire for an evening.
Word.
And mm-hmm. smoke a cigar and have a little whiskey. You know, Dave and I, we used to do this quite a lot more than what we do now because we do the Catholic Man Show, so that's kind of taken the place of it a lot. But we used to sit out, you know, by the fire and have a manly discussion. We had a manly discussion. We Facebook Lived it for our friends of the show, at least some of it, and got them involved as well, which is a lot of fun. But We've had a pretty good weekend.
I'm just waiting for you to install like a separate ventilation system here in the studio so that we can smoke our pipe.
If you are listening right now and you install and you want to donate to us a ventilation system.
Yeah, if you know how to do this,
please give me a call. Reach out to us.
Adam will pay a lot of money.
I'm looking for a donation. So let's get into the first part of our show, the manly beverage.
Okay, so there's a fantastic, beautiful story behind how I selected the whiskey for today.
Okay.
We were hanging out mm-hmm. with over at our buddy Ken Savitt's house.
Correct.
Hanging out with Father Ripperger.
Correct.
And
earlier today, or earlier Sunday.
Yeah,
sorry. Well,
yeah, it was on Sunday. And so he is getting ready to move to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking his order to the Diocese of Denver. And so it was like one of our last opportunities to hang out with him. My dad was there. There's, you know, a good group of us. Anyway, my dad left this bottle of whiskey at Ken's house that we had tried and was really good. And Ken said, here, take this back to your dad. And so I decided we would drink it on the man show instead.
Instead of giving it back to him.
And that is a beautiful story.
So let him know what it is.
Okay, so we're drinking Aberfeldy 12-year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Highland, obviously single malt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's so, kind of
well,
the,
let's cheers, and then we'll give our notes.
Yeah, sometimes I get ahead of myself. Cheers to Jesus.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. The color is a caramel, a typical Scotch color.
Uh-huh.
A caramel.
Maybe a little bit more rustic in color than
okay.
typical
I'll
Scotch, you know? A little bit more orange hue
in the
glass. The
nose is not overpower. It's not like bam in your face like a very peaty.
You get
like
orange, a little orange on
mm-hmm,
the nose?
You do. Citrus.
Mm-hmm.
Orange peel is what they call it. Orange peel.
Right, yeah. No, I get orange juice.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I personally prefer orange juice to orange peel. If you ask me, hey, do you want some orange juice or do you want some orange peel? I'll take the juice every time. Just
fair
so
enough.
You know. Yeah.
The finish has a little bit of a bite to it, which is nice. I get a little bit of like leather on the palate. The oak, obviously, but a little leather, a little tobacco taste. And then the finish is a like a char, smoky, bite. At least that's my I don't know. Mm-hmm. Those are my tasting notes.
I'm getting like a something difficult to describe, like maybe a milky, creamy on the finish, not like almost like a coconut texture, not coconut flavor. Don't give me those judging eyes over there, okay?
I'm just not knowing where you're going with this.
It's but it's like a creamy taste on the end, at the very end.
Okay.
As you swallow, it's like before the finish.
Okay.
Because, you know, you swallow it, wait 2 seconds, and then like
the
finish will kind of hit you.
Okay.
Here's what the so-called experts say.
Okay, let's hear those.
On the nose, it's butterscotch.
Okay.
And a complex, overripe fruit jump out of the glass, followed by notes of malt, vanilla, and hints of sweet white grapes.
Hmm.
Some grassy notes hang about with some honey and a sweetness that reminds me of the Play-Doh / Superman ice cream I loved as a kid. I do love Superman ice cream. I got a little distracted there.
Yeah, okay.
On the palate, rich, overripe fruit mixes with some hay-like malt. Wood and candied citrus rind, dark honeyed and dried dates and figs nicely fill out the role of a second fiddle as they move across the palate.
So they're mentioning a lot about like sweets.
There's a that's what I'm saying. Like it's I was getting a sweetness. There is a baklava and muscovite sugar.
Okay.
You know, do you know what muscovite sugar is? I don't. There's a muscovite sugar quality that mixes with some minerality on the back end. Some minerality.
Okay.
Word I've never used before.
Never used that one either. Okay. I mean, I don't get...
You don't get any sweet tones to this?
I do on the nose, and maybe at the very beginning, but man, I don't get it at the... I get more like the leathery tobacco almost.
Hmm. Okay. I taste the sweet... I taste sweetness in it. But that's... Those are the flavors... I like sweet flavors,
yeah.
You know?
Okay, so Dave, let me ask you this. Oh, I'm sorry.
On the finish, and driven by apricots and wood, notes of vanilla, cinnamon, malt, toffee, and dried orchid orchard fruits, and dried dark fruit mixed in and out as it slowly fades.
Hmm. Okay. I don't...
That's what the professionals say.
Okay. Fair enough.
If you can be a professional.
So, Dave, if this is somebody's first time of listening to the Catholic Man Show, and they're thinking, and they're still listening, which would be impressive. This is their first time. They're asking, you know, well, what exactly are they doing drinking on the show? Can we explain the virtue of moderation?
Yeah, yeah. So we're just here to promote moderation, and we like whiskey. So, you know, it's easy to talk about moderation, but it's a lot easier to demonstrate moderation. I think that's a much better teaching tool than just saying, hey, you know, you should really have moderation.
Right.
You know,
I agree.
So that it's just one thing that we do, and it's a skill to enjoy the things that you like moderately, in appropriate doses, so to speak.
Yes.
Like, for instance, try to eat 2 M&Ms, and that's it, with a bowl still standing there.
It'd be easy for me. I don't even really like M&Ms.
You don't like M&Ms? What's wrong with you? There is something, like, deep down wrong with you. You don't like ketchup either. It's weird.
Sorry.
Don't you think that's weird?
No.
You're the only person in existence who doesn't like ketchup.
Whatever. That's not true.
I'll bet you none of our friends of the show have a problem with ketchup.
We'll see. We'll ask them.
Okay.
On the other side of the break, we're going to get into the man here and then talk about some beauty. Straight up beauty. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here in studio with Adam Minahan, enjoying a fine glass of Aberfeldy 12 year. I think it's delicious.
You know, there's very few scotches, though, that I've had that I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah, but there was that one.
Yeah, I had it
downstairs.
What
was that? What was it? That's the problem with those is that they never go away.
Yeah, I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Because you, like, ordered it online or something?
No.
Is that right?
No, I got it.
Oh, no. You were in the liquor store and you looked it up.
Uh-huh.
And the first review said it was good.
It was on sale, yeah.
And then all the other subsequent reviews said it was terrible, but you only looked at the first review.
Right. And so I went with it. It was brutal.
The instant culture of today.
I know.
I want things now.
The microwaves.
I don't have time for 2 reviews. Come on.
I didn't.
Who do you think I am? Mr. Time or something?
I didn't have time. I had the wife and kiddos in the car waiting.
Yeah, you know, you can't take a baby in the liquor store.
No, you cannot. At least in Oklahoma. I don't know where else. I mean.
Have I told this story on the show before?
I don't know.
When my daughter was, like, I don't know, 5-6 months old, I brought her into the liquor store in the car seat, you know, that, you know, detaches. Mm-hmm. So I just come in there, but they didn't see me till I walked up to the counter, and she, like, kind of saw me, like, dip my shoulder to set something on the ground on the other side of the counter, and so she leaned and peered over and saw there was a baby, you know, in the car seat. Mm-hmm. She looks at me, she's like, you can't have a baby in here. And I said, I can't leave her in the car. You know, I don't know what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, you can't have her in here. And so, like, kind of laughing at the situation, I looked at her and said, like, listen, we're trying to get her to quit, but it's really hard, you know? Like, she's persistent. She cries. I mean, I don't know what you want me to do. And so she starts laughing, and she's like, all right, well, just go stand outside. Because I had already put everything I wanted on the counter. And it's like, really? She's like, yeah, go stand outside. So I was like, okay. So I go out there. I'm like the idiot standing outside of the liquor store with, you know, holding a baby. As people are coming in and out, I'm just like, yeah, I'm just here with my baby.
Buying some booze.
Right, no big deal. And so she, like, came and said, like, all right, this is how much it is. And I gave her my card from outside, and she went back in. And anyway.
You can't do that, guys.
Just be warned.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're supposed to do, because...
You're just not supposed to go to
the liquor
store.
As I said, you can't leave them in the car.
Right.
You'll totally get arrested these days. I remember going to the store as a kid, and my mom would leave us in the car. you know, not if it was 100 degrees outside. But did that ever happen to you? Do you have, like, she'd say, like, I'm going to run inside and, you know, me and my siblings,
so.
we'd all stay in the car, you know, and we'd,
I
like,
so.
Mess around.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Play with the AC control.
Yeah, I mean,
I did that max, low,
just
max,
sit there,
low.
Like, Mom's not here, I'm going to punch my, look, siblings, ha ha.
That's not very manly.
Well, I was a boy, so I don't know what you want from me.
Let's get into the man gear.
The man gear for today. The theme of beauty is, guys, this is what happens. This is what happened to me.
Sounded like that you were going to say,
guys,
guys.
Guys are the man gear, okay? David Niles is the man gear. Everybody needs a David Niles. Okay. No. But here's what happens, okay? You get married, whatever, and then, like, you have this house. I had a house, no decorations.
It
hadn't occurred.
It was very plain.
I remember the first time someone said, you know what, a picture would look really good on this wall. And it, like, blew my mind. Because, I'm not kidding, like, the thought of decorating had simply never occurred to me. It was just like, whoa. What an idea. Like,
I do need to
get
a picture.
There are no decorations in here, you know, but... So my and got married, and it's like, now my house is beautiful, right? But everybody, every guy needs something in their house, whether it's a picture, a statue, whatever it is, you know, that is theirs. You know, you need
an item.
You need a wall, guys. I mean, like, Adam, he has a whole room, okay? He's got the studio up here.
Yeah, if you guys need to know my tricks of the trade, you can email me.
I mean, like, I was telling him...
For a small fee, I'll let you
like,
know.
Yeah, you've got it made. The closest thing I have to my own room is the bathroom downstairs.
Yeah.
You know, because I've created a sanctuary there. That's, you laughing? It is 100% true. You're laughing because you know it's true.
I do.
Got the squatty potty.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
Look up the... Hey, guys, if you don't know squatty potty, look that up.
Okay, it's official. The squatty potty is the unofficial man gear of today.
It's
okay,
official.
It's officially the unofficial man gear.
If you don't know what that is,
if you don't
look
know what
up.
It is, yeah, just take some time, take 10 minutes on YouTube, and enjoy. Okay.
Okay. So,
but so anyway, you
articulate
the
what
man
the
gear,
man gear
is. Well, it's you need a decoration. You need something in the house that you find beautiful. You know, and it's yours. And
okay.
Hopefully your wife likes it too, because it'll be more peaceful that way. But
yes.
You know, like, you just need that. Because my wife, like, she's great. You know, she's a good decorator. But, like, I don't know where she got all these pictures and, like...
They have just, like, a knack for that.
I know. And it's like, okay, these are nice flowers. I'm not particularly inspired by these flowers, but they certainly don't offend me.
Right.
And obviously that's my, like, bar for decorating, because I didn't decorate before she got there, right? So...
The bar is
right.
Is it
the
a
bar
medium,
is like,
or
yeah,
is it acceptable?
This does not disgust me. Therefore, I'm totally fine with it. You
right.
know. But anyway, so that's the man gear.
So what's yours?
Mine is
personal. Your personal.
My personal one. I had another one, but the newest one, and I actually took the old picture down and now put up my picture of John Paul II that Jeremy Maddox sent us.
Yeah, who's a friend of the show?
Who's a friend of the show? Phenomenal artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love it. In fact, just yesterday, I was telling my wife, like, I just love that painting.
Mm-hmm.
It's black and white, kind of, except the halo around him is like a very pale yellow. It's not
a blue tint to it as well.
Yeah, okay.
A
it's
blue
too,
hue.
Maybe it's two-toned is a better way to say it, except for the halo. But the halo isn't, like, obvious. You know,
right.
You don't immediately, it doesn't, like, jump out at you, but when you sit there and look at it, then you notice it and...
Mm-hmm.
Just the expression on his face, it is awesome. I'm gonna we'll post a picture of it.
Yeah.
And so you can also go to Jeremy Maddox's website. I don't recall what it is offhand, but
just
we'll put a link. Yeah. Also for
he
the
does
show.
A lot of contemporary stuff as well. Abstract.
Yeah, he does abstract, but he also has a religious art section on his website.
Just really good.
And I'll bet you if you want him to, he'll paint you a pic. You know, something else.
Yeah.
I haven't verified.
Right.
But the
I'm
picture
sure
he
takes requests.
The picture he sent us was not on his website.
Right.
So
he'll take requests.
I mean, he's an artist. Like, if you pay him money, he'll paint you something. I'm just
I'm
willing
sure.
to make that bet.
Right.
So do you have one?
Well, other than the
you
studio.
You have a lot. You
have
a lot.
What
am I, who am I kidding?
I have this studio, which my wife kindly agreed to letting us turn this room. We had an extra bedroom. Instead of making it like in another guest room or something, we've turned it into where we record.
Uh-huh.
I have a bookshelf and desk, and we have all of our equipment in here and our banners and all of our articles that have been written. And, you know, so anyway, this whole room is mine. But one of the other things is something that I built, and I think I've talked about it before, but it's my Prédu, which uh-huh. is my kneeler.
It is beautiful too.
Out of cedar, and it's all live edged.
Yeah, it's got a very natural look to it.
Uh-huh.
And it's big enough for two people.
Yeah, it's a two person kneeler, and you know, we have it right on the at the foot of our bed.
Uh-huh.
And so Haley and I, you know, pray every night together.
I refer to my bed as the altar of the house.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds theologically correct.
I also, when Pamela and I were buying a bed, mm-hmm. I became insistent that we will get a canopy bed. Not one of those like frilly, girly ones, but I wanted a canopy bed because of the theological significance. So like Jewish weddings,
mm-hmm.
they always take place under a canopy because after the fall of the temple, they didn't know what to do, so the temple, the canopy, from what I understand, symbolized being in the church. And so, like, they would get married anyway, but it was always under the canopy, therefore, you know, it's representative of being in the church. So mm-hmm. the canopy bed is like, you know, the domestic, it just symbolized
like
the domestic church mm-hmm. in our household.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, like I said, my Prédu is right at the foot of my bed. And
the altar. It's at the foot of your altar.
Foot of my domestic altar.
Come on. That's what I'm trying to get to.
And when you walk into the room, that's the first thing you see.
The Prédu.
Is Prédu.
Yeah.
And I really like that because it centers the whole room on prayer. The moment you look at it, it looks...
It's in the middle of the room, too.
It's in the middle of the room. Yeah, and it's the first thing your eyes make contact with. So the room just... comes off as a prayerful room.
Mm-hmm, totally.
And because I was pretty nervous about building it because it was kind of one of my first things that I really like took serious.
Yeah.
And
I bought from scratch.
And I bought some really nice wood, which is expensive. Like cedar is not cheap. And if you know you mess up, you have to go buy new.
Yeah. You just went and got like some rough wood.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was cool to see it turn from like this is just like a pile of what looks like scrap wood. It was mm-hmm. scrap wood.
Yeah, from a sawmill. No,
and,
yeah.
like, you turned it into something. It was very cool.
Yeah. And so now it really does look beautiful, you know, just the natural color of the wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pointed directly toward – we have a crucifix right above our bed with a picture frame around it.
Sure.
So it – I just – that's probably mine.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be mine.
I'd
be interested to hear what other guys – like.
I know. Me too, because I feel like there's some guys out there who have way – like, very cool pieces. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, whether it's art – whether it's just even like your prayer corner,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever it could be.
Yeah.
You know, it could even be, you know, your
doesn't
garage.
It doesn't have to be religious either.
Right.
I mean, because the beautiful is religious in some, you know, in
right, and
some
that's what
sense.
I'm saying. It could be your garage. Like if you have a workshop out in your garage or something like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
just the art of working.
Like maybe know. It's like, oh, I made these cabinets with my hands.
Right. So it's just something that you could take pride in, you know?
Yeah. You need something in your house, guys.
Yeah. So post it on our Facebook page. We'd love
Show
to see
us.
It.
We want to see it.
When we get back, we're going to start talking about beauty.
It's going to be awesome.
So buckle up.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise thine glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Hope you enjoyed that manly break. We are drinking some Aberfeldy 12-year Highland single malt scotch whiskey in our Catholic Man Show Glencairn glasses. We just got done talking about something in your house that you need to have that reminds you of beauty.
Yeah, or just that you enjoy. You
that
know,
you enjoy.
Maybe you don't realize that it's not like, oh, beautiful, but there's something about it. That
strikes you.
That strikes you, yeah.
Yeah, And so now we're going to get into buckle up because we're about to have a manly topic on beauty, which I think that if you asked maybe just a regular Joe Blow guy off the street, you know, if beauty is a manly topic, I don't think that they'd probably...
Yeah, they'd probably be like, no.
No. Yeah, I don't think that...
I mean, unless you're objectifying it.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's, you know, the same thing of, like, NFP. You know, is NFP, like, a manly topic? No, it's a, you know, it's for women.
It's for wimps. It's for,
yeah, and women, you know, yeah. Let them mess with that. You know? No, this is a manly topic.
Yeah, so this kind of reminds me of our leisure episode. Actually, I've discovered that beauty and leisure are integrally linked. But I was nervous about that episode. I'm even more nervous about this episode because I think this may be the hardest topic we've ever broached. Just because beauty is such a fundamental experience that everybody has. Everybody has this experience with beauty almost all the time. But it's so present. It's difficult to describe. So, in fact, I'd like to do an experiment right now. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to try to describe it. Define it. What is beauty? And even if you... pause this podcast. Try to write it down. Mm-hmm. Go ask your wife or your girlfriend what they think it is. Have a discussion with them. Say, honey, how would you define beauty? What is it? I mean, it's one of those things that you can immediately identify when you see it. But how do you define it? So pause this, have that convo, and come back. Okay, welcome back. All right.
You didn't give them enough time.
Well, they paused.
Hold on, stop. Okay, welcome back.
Okay, welcome back. So, like I said, it is this fundamental experience. There is something about it that when you see it, you immediately know it. You know?
Yeah.
It's instantly obvious to you. And let me say what beauty is not. Beauty is not prettiness.
Or not ugly.
Right, exactly. The beautiful is more than that. You know, the beautiful is a sunset. Or a hurricane, even.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tornado.
A lion.
What about a tornado?
Or a tornado.
Here in Oklahoma, we have a lot of tornadoes.
We don't get many hurricanes, but right. we get tornadoes. Or a lion bringing down a gazelle, you know, across the Serengeti.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something fierce, ferocious, but beautiful about this. You know, and why is that? What is it? So, one of the best resources I found when I was doing research for this topic was a talk given by the Catholic poet Dana Gioia, who I've mentioned before on the show.
But I think we actually
I said Gioia before, but it's like spelled Gioai. Or something. It's pretty close to that, however you spell it. It's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's pronounced Gioia. Listening to his talk that was just called The Importance of Beauty. And on YouTube, there's like two or three versions. He's given it a few times. And here's what he says about beauty. He says there are four characteristics of beauty. The first one is that it arrests your attention. When you see it,
you
stop what you're doing,
okay,
just to partake in it, you know? The second is the thrill of pleasure. You get there. Why do you enjoy looking at a sunset? It gives you pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it's a pleasure that is disproportionate to your own personal feelings, or it's that object's importance to you. Okay?
Okay.
So, for instance,
example.
When he uses this example, he walked into the room to give the talk, and apparently it was a very beautiful room. You could tell by like the colors. The video didn't show it, but there was stained glass window. So I'm assuming it was a beautiful room. And he said, you know, he was talking to someone, and he walked in, and he just stopped talking. And just looked around. He said it was almost rude because he's in the middle of a conversation. Now he's just like suddenly ignoring this person because the room was very beautiful. So it arrested his attention and it gave him pleasure. You know, he was really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a room. You know, he has no personal, emotional ties to this room. It's not like, you know, his son was born in this room, or, you know, even goes, he was at a college. It's not like his son went to the college. He doesn't have a son in college, as far as I know. But it was just a room. But it was a beautiful room. But the pleasure he got was disproportionate. It was more than his own feelings towards just this other room.
Okay.
So the third thing is that it gives you a heightened sense, a heightened perception of the shape or meaning of things. You know,
I like that one.
Right. And so, like, for instance, if you look at a sculpture.
You know what it reminds me of? Let me give you this example.
Tell me.
In several YouTube videos, you can YouTube of Dr. Peter Kraft talking about debating atheists. He uses, like, he has a list of reasons to believe in God.
Okay.
And one of the reasons he says, you will either get this or you won't. And he says,
yeah.
I've had an atheist that listened to the Gospel of Matthew by Beethoven. And through, I think it was Beethoven, either Bach or Beethoven, I can't remember. But
well, Bach, there's the Bach. Okay. You know, there's the Bach defense or the...
Yeah, and through that...
But either one.
Yeah, symphony, mm-hmm. no,
yeah,
whatever symphony. It is, symphony, he realized there is a God.
Mm-hmm. Because beauty, like, if you're an atheist, what is beauty? It's totally subjective. You know, there's one of the phrases that I hope to dispel today is that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. There is only a small amount of truth to this.
Yeah.
Because if there is no God, what is beauty? It doesn't make any sense.
The logic will run you into a road of relativism.
Right.
It leads you to relativism. It's beautiful for me, man, but it's not beautiful for you.
Right.
It's true to me, but it's not true to you.
And actually, that's very, very popular right now, more as much as ever.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, if you can present something as beautiful, whether it is or isn't, it almost like, oh, well, the group, us, this group that says this is beautiful, it almost like it raises our status socially among the crowd because...
Mm-hmm. Our intellectual
right,
status.
Yeah, exactly. We find beauty in this, and it's like, well, it's not really all that beautiful. But let's define it.
Okay.
Because that's... I want to do that.
Yeah, that's a good
Adam,
idea.
Adam, how would you define beauty?
Okay, so this isn't my topic, so I really wasn't prepared.
Right, I'm totally springing this on you.
And I think you're right. I think it's really tough to describe what beauty is. I guess I would say it's a group or like a set of characteristics that is aesthetically pleasing to the eye
mm-hmm.
that makes you realize the moment in time that you are in.
Okay. I like it.
I don't know.
That's a good definition. Yeah. It's hard to do without feeling superficial.
I know. That is,
yeah.
I mean, but that was, I don't know, that's probably the best that I can do, I think.
So, St. Thomas Aquinas,
at least off
he says cuff. Beauty has three characteristics.
Okay.
He says...
I changed my answer. My answer is whatever
St.
Thomas...
Whatever Thomas Aquinas says.
Yeah.
Good answer. Good answer.
I win.
He says that beauty is characterized by three things. The first one is integritas, which just means integrity or wholeness. You know, that you're not getting a partial message. You're getting the whole truth about something. You know, so it's a wholeness. The second one is harmony or proportion. So the things of, you know, all of the elements in the equation are in balance. There is something beautiful about symmetry, about balance.
Well, I think that's like the definition of like pretty like of a woman. Like,
well, you can mathematically define, so I mean,
scientifically,
yeah, they can prove,
like,
oh, this
symmetry.
Is why you're more beautiful, right?
Right.
Because you have your face has
more symmetric,
right? Exactly.
Qualities, features.
And then the last one is what he calls claritas, which could mean clarity, but Really, he means it as radiance, brilliance, or illumination.
See, so that's what, like, yeah, it's almost like there's a non-material portion to this.
Like almost a glow about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Right. I would my own definition would be when you see something that is, you know, it makes you feel like this is the way things are supposed to be.
Okay.
You know, and it could be anything. You know, just, but yes, when you see it, you immediately know this is right. This is the way creation was intended.
So is it, does it have to have time, space, and matter?
In this life, I think so.
I agree.
Okay.
In this life, I think
in this life,
it has
yes.
to have, it has to be beautiful in time, in space, and in matter.
Correct. So we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We're talking about beauty. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your beautiful glass.
The beauty.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I am your beautiful host, David Niles. Adam's about to bust a blood vessel over here flexing. I don't know why he's doing that. He's over here bringing us in. He's like, going, like, it's cool, dude.
Dude.
Do you even lift?
Oh, dude, I lift.
Okay.
Things.
Yeah. I pick things up and put them down.
Dude, I love being a dad so much.
That's good, because you are one. Yeah.
It is it's so fun. And my oldest, Luke, I'm actually about to have a daughter here in a couple months, which I'm super pumped about.
Yeah, dude, that's
going to
be awesome.
Just super
dresses and
about.
Bows, dresses and bows.
I saw a video on YouTube not too long ago of a dad and daughter, and they were singing a song, and it just made me like, ugh, I cannot wait
to
have a daughter.
I'll bet you turn into a crier someday.
Dude, absolutely.
Without
a doubt.
Oh, you're totally going to be like when your daughter gets married.
Yeah, without a doubt, man.
Oh, you're going to be
weeping. At the very end of,
and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful.
At the very end of your best man's or my best man's speech, I was like fighting tears. So there's no doubt. But I got to tell you this awesome. Like Luke is getting to the age where he is, you know, interacting really well. He's talking. He has his own thoughts.
Yeah.
And so
that is a fun age.
Which is
yeah.
really fun. This week, he had a toy, and he goes, Mommy, I need new batteries for the toy. And Haley was busy. She was, you know, I think cooking or, you know, cleaning or something. And she goes, okay, well, what kind of batteries do you need? And Luke goes, new ones.
Well, Mom, I think that's like, kind of a stupid question.
And I was like, high five, bro.
Yeah. Yes.
That is correct.
Luke for the win.
Yeah. He's been doing those little things like that, these like little stories like that. That it's been a lot of fun.
That is cool, dude.
Yeah, it's like, yes, new ones, of course, Mom. Come on, I need new ones because these aren't working.
Yeah.
So
one time, my dad, when my youngest sister was like, I don't know, four or five, he had the talk about like, you know, don't, you know, if you're at a park, don't take candy from a stranger or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like gonna test her at the end, and he's like, so what are you gonna say? Someone comes up to you in the park, and she like looked down for a second. You could tell she was really thinking. She said, I'm going to tell him to stay where you are and throw me the candy. And it was just like, I remember hearing her saying that, going like, oh my gosh, that is the best answer I have ever heard. Like, she's like, I understand the rules of engagement. Can't go over to them, but I do want the candy.
Right.
Got it.
Stay where you are.
Stay over there and just throw it to me.
Yeah.
Don't come close.
Right.
But throw me that candy, brah.
Yeah.
I'll take it. So anyway, we're sitting here talking about beauty.
Yeah. What kind of scotch are we having?
Oh, yeah, we're having Aberfeldy. Is that right? Is that what it is? Aberfeldy 12-year.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you to write down, I hope you had a convo with your wife, with your significant person, whoever is significant in your life, best friend, girlfriend, dad, whatever. I hope that went well, and I hope you have a definition. I've been studying beauty for days in advance of this.
I don't really know how well my definition really was.
It was like off the cuff. It was pretty good. I asked my wife beforehand.
Off the cuff.
I said, how would you define beauty? And she hit me with this. She said, beauty, I would say it's the physical manifestation of virtue. And it's just like, what?
Oh my goodness.
That's the best answer I've heard. And like, I've been, like, even the definition I gave for Aquinas, he didn't really define it. He just says, well, beauty has three characteristics, and it's, you know, clarity, whole.
Needs to be these
right, yeah, it's, you know, radiance and wholeness and proportioned, you know.
So say it again.
Beauty is the physical manifestation of virtue. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you can't, like, say that's not correct.
Right. Beauty is truth. And truth is beauty.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there is a gentleman, he does exist, who said this one time. He said, beauty is truth, truth beauty, that is all ye know on earth, and all ye need to know. That's John Keats from Ode on a Grecian Urn, is the name of the writing poem. I'm not sure what it is, but...
Of course it is.
Yeah. Another, Dana Gioia, put it this way, that beauty is the splendor of the secrets of being radiating into intelligence, Radiating into the intelligence.
The splendor of being radiating into the intelligence.
Correct.
That would have probably been my second thing I would have said on how to define it if you asked me off the cuff.
Right.
That would have probably been my... 1B. Like, I had a 1A, now this...
That would be 1B. Yeah, it's the splendor of secrets of the secrets of being radiating into the intelligence. I mean, like, if you just ask me off the cuff...
Right,
I mean,
that's probably what I would
right,
guess.
Yeah. I mean...
Or said. Yeah.
I guess I that's know. What I'd say.
Yeah.
But I never got to the fourth thing that Dana Gioia said about beauty. So we talked about, it. You know, it has the arresting of the attention, the thrill of pleasure, the heightened sense of perception of the shape or meaning of things. The fourth thing, which I think is important, is that it vanishes.
Yeah.
Beauty is in the moment. You can't keep it. In fact, there's this, you know, one of the things we desire about, if it's truly beauty, is that it's like a disinterested.
In this world, in this life.
In this world, yeah. Is that we have like a disinterested desire towards beauty. You don't want to possess it. You don't want to make it yours. You just simply want to be in its presence.
Right.
And participate.
Yeah. Can you ever have too much beauty?
No.
Like, think about the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Now, is there any way it could have been more beautiful?
Yes, I mean, it could. I mean, yeah. Unless you've, like...
It's like...
Super privileged and you glimpsed at the, you know, beatific vision here on Earth. I mean, like, I doubt it, but...
Right.
Could happen, I suppose.
Could it be more beautiful through time?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know, but, you know, like, life is more beautiful because of death. Because, you know, this life could be over at any minute. That makes her life more beautiful.
That's why I kind of liked, at the very end of that break, I kind of said, you know, it has to have time, space, and matter, you know, in this life. You know, it has to have that time, because it's going to end. You have to enjoy it. You have to grasp it at that moment.
Right.
You know, it has to have space. Has to be there. Sunset, tornado, whatever it is.
Right. Exactly.
And matter.
Mm-hmm. It's so, a physical, you know, it's in this life.
Right.
And it's pointing to heaven. That's the ultimate, truth behind all of the beauty. That's why it is truth.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple weeks ago, we talked about leisure and how, like, there was this two types of knowledge. One that was like an active knowledge that you went out and studied things and earned. And the other one is like the knowledge that you just sat back and received from nature, and how the ancients viewed that as a higher form of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that knowledge that you receive is beauty.
Mm-hmm.
To sit there and contemplate your reality, that is a, you know, like, you are just sitting there, really, you're contemplating the beauty of creation and of your life. Mm-hmm. And in fact, John Ruskin, he once said that, remember...
Oh, my buddy John.
Yeah, John.
Okay.
You know John Ruskin.
Yeah.
Remember that the most beautiful things in the world are the most useless. Peacocks and lilies, for instance. And one of the things about leisure, if you recall, was that it was useless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was one of the defining characteristics of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just really ties in, you know, the beauty and leisure, they go hand in hand. You cannot even perceive the beautiful without being at leisure.
I agree. Go ahead.
In fact, with that in mind, our main man, well, not our main man, but our man, Henry David Thoreau, you know, HDT, Henry
David
Thoreau.
Acquaintances.
Okay. Well, he said that the perception of beauty is a moral test.
I like that.
I do too. You know, it's a test. It says something about your moral sensitivity,
mm-hmm.
whether or not you can behold the beautiful and identify it. Do you recognize the beautiful when it's before you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, there's something true about that. You know, mm-hmm. like that's a quote that I don't fully understand, but that's the thing about beauty is that you don't understand it
mm-hmm.
almost. You know, you just, and that's part of its fascination.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Were you about to say something else?
Well, I just wanted to read this.
Okay, go ahead.
This is from Plato. He says, "Man," says Plato, "has lost the original perfection that was conceived for him. He is now perennially searching for the healing primitive form. Nostalgia and longing impel him to pursue the quest." And this is the part I like. "Beauty prevents him from being content with just the daily life." And then he says, "It causes him to suffer." Which, it's like that last sentence, it's like, whoa, that's not what I thought you were going to say. But there's something true about that. When you behold the beauty, the beautiful, and then, as Joya says, it vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It causes you suffering now in its absence. It's like you know now that you are created for something more mm-hmm. than just this daily existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the beautiful exists, and now it's like, oh, I need to be in its presence.
Right.
It's that is God's creation. It is that desire that is God's creation calling us home.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So I think that there's also like, you know, there's beauty and then you recognize beauty and then you suffer whenever it's gone because you recognize that beauty. Mm-hmm. But there's also, I think, like, there's suffering that turns into beauty.
Absolutely.
You know, like obviously the passion is an example.
Sure.
But, you know, even like as a dad, you see your son and he's riding a bike and he's learning to ride his bike and he falls down and he scrapes his knee, mm-hmm. you know, and because he realizes he's missing the pedal and he falls down.
Right.
And he learns from that.
Yeah.
And then he gets back up. And then he figures it out, and he keeps writing, and you see him smiling. He's all excited because he learned. Like, there's a beauty in that.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great example.
He
has just discovered a truth.
Right. He's
through
discovered
his suffering.
Truth. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that you can also discover beauty through suffering, which that can define, you know, why is there suffering? Well, there's good that comes out of it. Atheists cannot answer that question of why is there suffering. We
no.
can bring good out of suffering.
Oh, yeah. Man, there's so
Dang
much
it.
More that I wanted to
I'm
say
really
on
sorry.
This.
I'm really sorry. I probably...
No. I think it went really well. But like I said, send us a picture of what is your beautiful decoration, whatever you want to call it, in your house, because you're the man.
Yeah. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Our glass is filled with our... Arborfeldy tonight, 12 year.
We're on the Lord's team. We'll say it again.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
Last word.